All right, so we're here with Corey from Norma Jean at the infamous Crocodile Rock Cafe in Allentown. Joining you on the Wrongdoers tour is that you're about three quarters of the way through, if I recall, is the KEN mode, Exotic Animal Petting Zoo. And unfortunately for us, Vanna chose to sit this date out. Don't blame them. Let's see, but the whole
issue. Well, punks.
The show has been advertised as having a special secret guest, which I think was announced as A Scent Like Wolves. Is that okay? Cool.
That's true.
All right, we had some nodding there. How do you know those guys, and how did you get them on board?
Is it like Wolves dudes?
Yeah.
I think they just got on the show, man. I didn't have anything to do with it.
Okay.
But I actually do print with those guys. I know them a little bit, and they're rad dudes. Okay. Cool band.
So much has been made about the three new members for the new record, Wrongdoers. How has the evolving lineups influenced the band's writing process and sound over the years?
It's really hard to lose a member. I'm not going to pretend like it's not. You know, I mean, it was kind of sucky when, you know, Scotty and Chris and those guys left. But we didn't just pick anybody out the street. We really looked hard and made sure we got the right guys that we fit with creatively, and also guys that are ready to commit themselves to this for the long run. That was a really important part of it. And we knew we wanted Goose right off the bat. He used to be in a band called Fear before the March of Flames. And he fits perfect. He has a million ideas. He brought John along with them. They were in a band called Loom together. So they already had chemistry as a drummer and a bass player, which was insane to find. It's kind of gold. So bringing those guys in, it's like almost like they were part of the band because they fit so well with each other already. And we almost had to kind of adjust to them a little bit, which was kind of cool too because it changes us, changes our perspective. Those guys had a lot to do, Jeff as well, Jeff Hickey, had a lot to do with their new record. And, you know, I think the music speaks for itself.
So what did the intense collaborations on the Anti-Mother teach you guys?
We kind of treated any kind of writer as a sixth member of the band. Anytime we've ever done that. We've never really done a guest vocalist, you know, like, hey, here's a song, come sing on it. Okay, see you later. Every time we've done that with Chino or Paige or anyone else that's come in, we started from scratch and wrote a song together. So, you know, to see how someone else writes a song and view that from, you know, kind of an, you know, inside looking in perspective is, I mean, you can't help but learn from that. And I think that every band, every musician should be that way. Don't ever think that you know everything or get to a point where you plateau or even out. You know, always know that there's more to learn and there's always more to grow as far as art goes. Definitely.
We were lucky enough to talk to Frank and Abe from the Deftones earlier, and Paige Hamilton's on my bucket list as far as interviews, so maybe you can put in a good word for us.
Cool.
So you mentioned Scotty. I think on the new album, it says that he contributed some lyrics. Was that from the earliest writing sessions of the album, or did he come back later into the fold and be like, here's some lyrics?
Scotty contributed throughout Wrongdoers here and there. We didn't feel comfortable, using any of his musical ideas, but he had some lyrics. He's a great lyricist, and we felt like that was a good way for him to contribute to this record. But he's not gone. We will work with him again. We're going to try really, really hard to make sure we can make that work on the next record. But Scotty is technically still a part of Norma Jean. He won't be touring with us, and that's pretty much how that is. And more or less, Norma Jean is kind of a collective now more than anything. He's free to come and go as he pleases, and I think we'll work with other past members as well.
You mentioned that in the liner notes of the album, and that's kind of like a Mars Volta sort of approach with some core members, but it's an evolving thing, and it's sort of...
I mean, the thing is that we're all individually musicians on our own. I mean, we're all building a career individually, Norma Jean is a project that we all contribute to currently, but Norma Jean isn't going to last forever, and who knows, like, we might decide to do something else on the side that makes us individual musicians on our own. So and the fact that we let people in all the time to write with us as the sixth member kind of thing, we kind of feel like that's really what we've become.
All right. There was a broad spectrum of sounds covered on the new album. Some extremely fast, almost hardcore punk sounding stuff, and some melodic, clean vocals, culminating with Sun Dies, Blood Moon, one of the more ambient offerings in the band's catalog. Was part of the goal for Wrongdoers to cover as much ground as possible musically?
No, we just kind of went with it, man. We didn't really plan anything out as far as how we wanted the record to sound or direction we wanted to go, because you sell yourself short, I think, if you do that. We kind of feel like songs write themselves, and we're kind of the tool behind the song. And so we just let the record kind of write itself and do its thing. And you know, if we felt good about it, then we used it. And so, at the end of the record, you know, I feel like it's a very cohesive, thought or a work of art. I think it all fits together in the end, basically.
So you recently incorporated some cello and violin into the music. Is that something that was something you wanted to do for a while now, or was that just something that fit with this record?
Yeah, it specifically went in a part that we wrote. With the song Sun Dies, Blood Moon. We had scrapped that song a couple of times, and then when we came back to that song at the end, we just stopped the song and put a piano to break it into two sections. And we just felt like that needed different instrumentation rather than, okay, well, here's some more guitars. You know, like, it just needed something else. You know, just having guitars there wasn't enough. And even the guitars that are put there are very subtle, one note kind of that goes through. And basically us just trying to recreate a cello and a violin. So we just brought in two really amazing cello violin players. And we just had them play this song, you know, several times until we liked what they did and kept it.
So speaking of that track, it seems to be the trend on the last couple records to end with longer songs. Is that like a decision to end with something really epic at the end of the album, or is that just how it's worked out?
Actually, we've had a record that had a really long, drawn-out feedback thing at the end, but the song really wasn't. The song itself was only like 4 minutes long. Usually the long song, what we always threw it in the middle. So with this record, we felt like, hey, it's okay to put it at the end. That's where it goes. It's an ending song. So we're not going to, you know, it didn't matter. Just that's where it goes kind of thing. You know, we didn't care about what was trendy or with us or anything. If that's where it needs to be, then that's where it's going to go.
Now, you guys had a B-side for the album, Family Bike Wreck. I'm always curious about the extra tracks. Did it not fit the flow of the album, and do you have other unused songs that might see the light of day down the line?
We had two other songs that were scrapped, but they won't ever see the light of day. That one, yeah, we didn't feel like it fit in anywhere in the record. It was a fun song to write and do, but ended up being a B-side. It's not like we didn't like it any more less than other songs. Just as much as we kind of feel like the song writes itself, we feel like the record has to flow in a certain way too, and that kind of does it on its own. And we have to listen to it throughout to find that. And that song just kept coming out. So we just decided, well, that's not supposed to be in there, and went with it.
Would it be fair to say that Wrongdoers was the hardest album to make in Norma Jean's career?
No. No, not at all. I think technically we spent more time with the sounds in the studio. We definitely stressed ourselves out a little bit more while in the studio, making sure that we had the best sounding drums we've ever done, best guitar tones. Overall, I do think the record is sonically the most powerful record we've ever done. Not the hardest, though. I wouldn't, not at all.
I think I can speak on behalf of the three of us from the radio station that we've always been fans of the artwork. And we were kind of wondering, with the new record, is there a story behind the artwork, or how did that come to be?
Yeah, I mean, we feel that the artwork and music are kind of one piece. Even the live show, it all kind of fits together as a cycle, you know. The next record will do something different, but it's really important that the artwork fits exactly, you know, how the record feels to us. We had hired two artists, actually, amazing artists too. We weren't really liking anything that was coming out, but it wasn't any fault of theirs. We had already kind of decided what we wanted in a direction, and that's a bad idea if you're trying to get someone outside to do it. So at the end, I ended up doing all the artwork and just kind of interpreting each song as I wanted to. It's all handmade collage work. And really, I think it's meant to be interpreted by the individual, just like a song is. Like, I think if you look at a painting, you might see something different than me. I think music is the same way. And I like the idea that I'm not going to tell you how I interpreted it, but you can look at it, maybe find something different and interpret it much differently than me. I think that makes us that's what makes music personal to people. So, but really, I mean, it's the cover, I will say, is just a person with no identity, glowing eyes. Her insides are out, so you know, you see the inside of the person, which is what Wrongdoers is. That we all have wrongdoings, I guess, and we have no room to judge another person. We're all basically, puts us all in the same boat. I think that's a positive thing that people should view. You know, it's not wrongdoers isn't necessarily a bad thing. We all have things like that. So,
yeah. You did a great job with that. So the bands work with different producers for every album. Is that something to shake things up, or does that just how does that come about? And I guess follow up question would be, how did you choose to work with Josh on the new record?
We just talked about it a long time. We had originally wanted to record with Jeremy Griffith, who did Meridional, but he lives in New York City now, and basically it just came down that we can't afford to live in New York City for 2.5 months. I mean, it's an expensive city. And he's right smack in the middle of Soho, which is the most expensive part of the most expensive city in probably the entire country. So, you know, we had to go with a place that we knew we could spend time with a guy that we trusted. And then Jeremy still ended up mixing the record. He did a great job, too.
Okay. So, we mentioned this a little bit earlier, but it's a rarity that bands can be on such good terms with former members like you guys are. To what do you attribute your ability to keep working with people who have kind of drifted out of the lineup?
Well, we're friends. I mean, we're just best friends. We have been for years, so it's, you know, I mean, there wasn't any egos involved with people leaving. It was just more like, you know, people grow up and they want to do something different, and they had our blessing to do it. And we tried to make that transition out of the band as easy as we possibly could, without, you know, being huge douchebags about it, you know, or get a big head about it. At the end of the day, we're adults that run a business, and we have to make sure that, you know, our friends aren't lost because of a business that we run, you know. That's at least 50% of what we do, and I think that's usually what happens with bands, is with breakups, it's usually a business-related problem, It's not really usually a creative problem unless, you know, maybe still some egos involved. But I think it's really what it comes down to is just putting yourself down, letting something happen, and then, you know, we kind of, in our minds, let God sort it out, you know, and that has always worked out for us. So, you know, well, I mean, we have, what do we have to complain about?
Daniel did a good job on the music video, so we're coming up on that.
Definitely.
So you guys fairly recently filmed a new music video for Sword in Mouth, Fire Eyes. Do you have any details about that you want to share, like who you worked with or any concept behind it or when people can look for it?
The director is Eli Berg. He's done some amazing videos, really visually storytelling videos. They're really cool. We liked what he had done before. So he sent us a treatment. It wasn't really what we were feeling because, I don't know, we didn't want it to be too serious. These days, you know, without MTV or music television at all, it's, you know, YouTube is the new MTV. So it's more or less, you know, bringing attention to a song through a story is what we're trying to do. And I don't know, I don't want to give too much away, but if you look on our Instagram, you can see some pictures. It involves a shark that works at a office.
That's perfect. That's that tells a lot right there.
So I got to ask, because we talked to this band here at Croc Rock like 2 years ago.
Josh.
Yes, Josh of the Chariot. What are your thoughts on them calling it quits?
I mean, they definitely have our blessing. I mean, that's, like I said, like people just change their mind. They get older. They want to do different things. And I feel like that's really what happened with those guys. You know, and I can't really speak for those guys on any of that, but they put out some great records. Those records will be there forever. And they're, you know, timeless records. So I think that it's cool. They put something out there. And, you know, I think that we'll, I don't think this is the last we'll see of Josh.
I agree.
There's no way.
Oh, this is such a talented band.
Especially live. All right, so you guys have been very open and candid about your troubles in Chicago a little while ago. I'm not going to ask you to recap it, because you already did online, but where can listeners go online to buy your merch to help out a little bit financially?
If people want to help us out that way, you know, like we said before, come to a show on this tour or any future show will definitely help us out. And we do have merch online. You can just go to normajeannoise.com. There's a link there somewhere. Or, you know, like that's really the best way to help us out. It's always kind of weird to me, like, to ask for money straight out. I don't know. I know that there's people struggling way harder than we are. You know, even if we were in the ditch, I would still feel a little bit weird about that, just because I know and I've seen, you know, people struggle much, much harder. It's hard to take cash like that for nothing. So we're workaholics, so we'll work for it. It's cool.
So 2013 is coming to a close. What does 2014 hold for Norma Jean?
We're going to take us a little time off beginning of the year. We're not fans of touring in the winter at all, so we're going to do that. We'll be in Europe in April, Russia, and then we'll do some kind of summer tour, and then after that, we'll see what happens.
So I do the new music show on the radio station, so I'm always looking for new stuff, and it's almost the end of the year, as I said, so I'm going to be doing my top 20 countdown. Which wrongdoers will be listed in the top 20 on my show for sure? But I was curious what your number one record of the year was for you.
Oh, man. I'm the worst at this. I am. I can't pick favorites of anything.
Most recent thing you heard this year that you liked?
Man, I just can't do it. My brain shuts down when people ask me what my favorite of anything is.
All right.
I don't know. It's a weird... That part of my brain is missing. I've tried to make top 5, 10 lists. And then, like, I have actually done it before, too. Like, here's a top five, here's another top five of all time records. And then I'll go back and look at one. I'm like, this one's totally different than this because I can't make up my mind. So, sorry, I can't answer that question.
So I guess my follow-up, and this is my final question, then JJ has something for you. You guys put out a really awesome 3-inch record this year because I'm a big vinyl fan. The Osh Shark Bites. It's a 3 or 3.5-inch?
3.5.
And I picked that up. I was lucky enough to get one of those. How did that all come about? Because it's just so random and, like, there's certain bands, you know, that they're really into the novelty of, like, pressing random things. Yeah. But, like, but I really like that you did that. And the track's an awesome track.
It's just, it was something fun. I mean, they're hand-stamped, hand-numbered. It's really just a fun item. Like, we wrote a 6-second song just being idiots in the studio. And then the other side is us, again, being complete idiots in the studio. And, you know, it's more of a... just a fun thing to release for fans and us. And once those are gone, they'll be gone forever. We won't make any more. But, you know, it's just, like, at the end, yeah, for real. There's not really a big explanation to that. Just that we thought it was cool that you could actually make 3.5-inch vinyl. So might as well. And I haven't seen anybody else do that, so...
I know you said it was just you guys being idiots, but it sounds really fucking good. Like, that track is awesome.
Yeah.
I have a feeling you're not going to be able to answer this one, but I always ask people, one album on a desert island, no hope of rescue.
I have said this answer before to that one. 238, You Should Be Living. It's a great record. It's perfect.
There you go. I don't think it'll happen, so you're okay. Yeah. But awesome. Well, that's the interview. Thank you for that.
And-